Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. We'd love to have you join us over there. If this is your first time to join us, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there. If you have any questions or comments about the show, I certainly welcome those. You can send me an email at scott@huntingtheway.com. As part of our ministry of Sportsmen of Colorado, if you have a church group, men's group, we are certainly open in discussing with you any opportunity of maybe coming to visit, share some, of course, about the outdoors, and then more importantly, our testimony, and maybe we can be a blessing to you, and that's what this show is all about. So if you have any interest in that, again, you can just send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Well, it's a real privilege today to have my nephew, Jeremy Pittman. And Jeremy is a missionary in Uganda, and you've heard his dad, Pastor David Pittman, on the show before, and Jeremy is back in the States now for a little while. So, Jeremy, thanks for coming on with me today, bud.
Well, I appreciate very much the opportunity to be on.
So, Jeremy, let's start out a little bit. I always like when people come on to tell a little bit about themselves and their testimony. So share just a little bit with us about your testimony, and then we'll kind of talk about your work there in Uganda.
Okay. Well, I had the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. My father being a pastor, obviously I got to hear the gospel at an early age. Trusted Christ as my Savior at 12 years of age, and then the Lord started using His Word and using preaching to call me to go to a foreign mission field. I didn't know where the Lord wanted me to go, but I said, "Lord, I'll go any place you want me to go." And the Lord ended up calling me to a place called Uganda, and it's located in East Africa. And my wife and I and my three children have been really had the privilege to work there almost 13 years this summer. And so we have, in my opinion, one of the best jobs in all the world. I'm called to go share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a great privilege when you realize that you're going to heaven not because of what you've done. And as a pastor's kid, I thought I was a pretty good kid, but my righteousness is not what God looks at. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and 1 Corinthians tells us that our righteousness is in Jesus Christ, and there's many Ugandans in the northern part of Uganda specifically that don't have the privilege, have never had the privilege to hear the name of Christ one time. And so we are greatly privileged to be able to go there and represent churches and teach the Bible and the good news of Jesus Christ to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned growing up as a pastor's kid and all that. Talk a minute about that and just what that's like, because, you know, all of us know somebody that's a pastor's kid. And so what's it like, and just the way I'm going to say it, is living in that fishbowl, so to speak, because everyone is looking at you 24/7. What is that experience like growing up as a pastor's kid?
Sure. Well, very transparent, as you use the fishbowl analogy, growing up as my father is a Pittman, obviously my last name is Pittman, and he always stressed to me that, "Jeremy, you don't do right because you're a Pittman or because you're a pastor's kid. You do what's right because of the person of Jesus Christ. And if I please Christ, I'll please him." And so I never felt, you know, you always do feel pressure being a pastor's child, because people look at you and they expect something more from you, and whether that's fair or not fair, it doesn't really matter. You are living in a fishbowl, but it was always a great privilege because I got to hear my dad. I didn't just hear him preach. I didn't just see my mom teach ladies Bible studies in an independent Baptist church. I got to see them live it out at home. Mm-hmm. And my parents, you know, are very real. And I think a lot of times there's trouble when a pastor gets up and preaches and he doesn't practice what he preached. And, you know, I had the privilege of growing up in a home where I just thought it was normal to see godly living. And then when I got out and got into, you know, went to the mission field, and even before that had some secular jobs, just getting through college, I was taken back by seeing some of the things that You know, my dad was real, my mom was real, and I was very thankful for that because, you know, we have to be real with our children, and not saying my parents are perfect by any means, but just saying that I appreciated the genuineness of them, and when we would go through trials and we'd go through problems, we'd pray together as a family. Every day we prayed, and that was always something that I've cherished because now I can pass that along to my children, and it's normal. It's not something, to me, it's just part of growing up. It's part of being a parent now, and kind of by a system of osmosis, so to speak, I just kind of got that from seeing that modeled and exampled in my life, and I realize many people don't have that privilege, and I'm thankful for a mom and dad who just did right and just did the simple things, the ordinary things, and I kind of find that is the more you do the ordinary things in life as a Christian, you can become an extraordinary Christian. I've seen that in the lives of Ugandans. They read their Bibles, they pray, they seek God's face, and they become extraordinary Christians of faith. Not because they do extraordinary things for God, but because they do the ordinary things God commands them to do on a daily basis.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, Jeremy Pittman. Jeremy is my nephew. He's a missionary in Uganda, back in the States here for several months. So let's talk a minute about, you mentioned feeling God called you to go to Uganda. And, you know, from most of us outside looking in, we look at say, okay, boy, you know, you could have probably easily had a very nice church here in the States, had all your kids here, had all the amenities of everything that we get to enjoy here in the States. And yet, you know, you feel God called you to Uganda. So let's talk about that and what that was like when you first went there, and then tell us a little bit about your work.
Okay, well, you know, I was in a missions conference at our church, and the Lord really used a passage in my life of Romans chapter 10 when he says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And that really caught my attention as a teenager. And then when I read down in Romans 10 and verse 17, he said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Well, how do people know about Christ? I understand the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But, you know, in a practical sense, I looked at it and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And that verse just kept ringing in my heart. How shall they hear without a preacher? Later on in Romans chapter 10. And so I looked at it and said, "Lord, if you could use me, I'm nothing, but if you could use me," and I was very thankful to go to a place that was wide open to the gospel. I'm privileged to work with a team of missionaries, and I'm privileged. We were able to help start an orphanage and a school, and we just have a great team philosophy. We've got about 20 men in our Bible Institute. And we have missionaries that just work together. By God's grace, the men in our Bible Institute, I think there's been about 7 churches planted and started. And you have faithful Ugandan men working in these churches. And, you know, it's always a privilege. We have some people ride a bicycle 4 or 5 hours to just come to our Institute lessons. You know, in this day, in age, we live in America, we're used to instant almost everything.
Sure.
And it's neat to see people come and really sacrifice. I've had people come that were in their 60s, ride hours to come to Institute, to come to church. And sometimes that commitment we don't see so much in America. And at Christmas time, it's always unique where they want services on Christmas Day. So if Christmas is on Saturday, we have a church service on Saturday, and sometimes we'll have two or three village church services, and then we'll have, it's not so much a day of family and friends as much as it's a day of focusing on the Christ of Christmas. And at times, I think in America, we can get it a little bit backwards, and we mistake magnifying Christmas more than we magnify the Christ of Christmas. And I love the fact that in Uganda, my kids have kind of grown up seeing it's not so much about, you know me, Uncle Scott, I'm not against gifts and against Christmas trees and all those things that are kind of the trappings of Christmas, but sure, sometimes we can get trapped by those things. And I love the fact that my children can see people coming to church faithfully, and they don't normally exchange too many gifts in Uganda, but everybody goes to church on Christmas Day in Uganda. And you know how much we love being together as family. And, you know, last Christmas we were together. How,
right,
what a good time we had together.
Sure.
So I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful that in Uganda my children have been able to see that people really magnify Christ. It's a little bit like in Luke 1:46 where Mary said, that Christ is magnified. And she said, I magnify the Lord. And really, Christmas is all about him. It's not about me. It's not about mom. It's not about my wife, Mandy. It's about the Messiah coming to earth as a baby and him being the propitiation for our sins. And I'm just thankful that I heard the gospel in an early age and God called me to be, and he chose to use us in this harvest field of Uganda.
Right. And yeah, you know, you're right, because we've seen people where, you know, maybe they go to a church for a while, they move 20 minutes away, and now it's just too far to drive. And you've got people riding a bicycle, you know, four or five,
Absolutely.
6 hours to come. And I'm sure, you know, they're probably not watching their clock to make sure the service doesn't go over 45 minutes or an hour either.
No, they're not. In fact, I've had places and villages where they will look at me and I will finish a message after 45 minutes. And quite frankly, I don't want to say exhausted, but I've kind of expended my energy. Uganda is a hot place, and sometimes it'll be 90 or 95 inside our house. And they'll say, okay, Pastor, and they'll use a queso word. They'll say bobo, which means again. And so then they want another message. And there's been certain places where I've preached three or four messages, because once you walk 3 or 4 hours, you don't want just a 30-minute message and out the door. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic to Uganda and some of the village places. We live in a very non-affluent place in Uganda, just south of Sudan, where people are very hungry. And so that's a blessing that, Uganda is relatively new to the gospel. America, if you look at the founding of Jamestown in the, 1609, we just celebrated 400 years a few years ago. And in Uganda, they've only had the gospel for less than 100 years. And so there's that newness, there's that freshness, where people have not all heard the gospel. And so it's a great privilege to serve him on the field there.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Wadley. My guest today, missionary Jeremy Pittman. Jeremy is my nephew, and it's a great joy to have him on the show today. Jeremy, I think a thought that would be good for us to do our second segment here on is trusting God through trials. And I'll let you kind of carry the story, but, you know, with of course, my sister being your mother, and you said earlier that you knew your parents weren't perfect, and I know that because your mother is my sister, so I knew that already. But let's talk a minute about, what you've seen. Of course, you know, Susan, your mom had diabetes at the age of 13 and has, you know, carried that through her life, and now Mandy has, been ill for a little while, so kind of talk about just that thought of trusting God through trials, because I think most of us look, you know, and if I was just looking at you on the outside, I'd think, man, you know, how can this happen when someone has given their life, given their children's lives, I mean, given their life to be over in a foreign country, and yet, you know, things happen with health and things like that with missionaries. So take a minute and just kind of walk us through that thought process of trusting God through trials.
Well, I think one of the things that's helped me the most is Scripture. And, I appreciate so much that we have the Scriptures in our hands. I've had people walk for, I had one man walk for 2 days when he found out I was giving out free Bibles. And it's not just a given that everybody in the world has a Bible. Many people don't have a Bible. And I'm thankful that I can turn to places like Hebrews 12, 1 and 1 through 3, and you know the passage, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, for the joy that was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame. And then he goes on in verse 3 and says that we should be careful lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. And I think sometimes when we're going through trials, the best place to look is just to look at Jesus Christ and to look at what he suffered for our salvation. And that's one thing that it's not a cliche when you're on the mission field and your daughter has malaria, and she's 4 years old, and her stomach is distended, and she's very sick. And, you know, my wife contracted an arbovirus, and she's been in a very debilitated state for some period of time. And doctors at Johns Hopkins have told us that, it's going to be an extended recovery time for my wife. You mentioned the difficulties of my mom, but the things that I can look back to is that they always looked to Jesus, and they always look, I love verse 15 in Hebrews chapter 12. And if I remember correctly, it starts off saying, looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many people be defiled. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes, is we can get bitter towards God, and you have to make a choice. Either we're going to be bitter towards things that happen, or we're going to be better and kind of be followers of God. You know, as he says in Ephesians 5, he talks about that we walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And, you know, God's given us everything. I mean, I don't deserve to be on this planet one more day. I don't deserve one more minute. I don't deserve my next breath. But, you know, you talk about trials. James 1:2 says that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations or different trials. And he talks about knowing that the trying of our patience, you know, the trying of our faith, you know, brings forth patience. I don't think any of us enjoy learning patience that way, but, you know, the Lord's been so good. And he tells us in James 1:5 that if we need wisdom, he says, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And so in our case, I know that whenever situations have happened in our lives, some difficulties, it's helped where my children and I just get alone and we read God's word. And it's amazing that God always has an answer in his word, and we don't get bitter. We try to look at things and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? Lord, how can I grow? And I've had great examples of this in Uganda. I had one gentleman look at me, and I'd led him to the Lord a few years ago. And he looked at me, he was about 6'4", a large man by Ugandan standards. And he came up to me after service. I had preached on Ephesians chapter 4, and where it talks about let all bitterness, put away all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking. And he came to me right before Christmas time, as a matter of fact, and he said, Pastor, I need to forgive someone for a sin. And he said, I'm not sure that I can do it. And he said, you just preached on bitterness. How do I put this away? And I said, well, what? This man's name was Stephen. And I said, Stephen, what happened? And he said, well, there was a man that murdered my father 20 years ago. He was in the Ugandan army. He says, I know where he lives. I know what he did. He says, but he had never been formally charged, and the man got away with it. He said, how do I forgive that man for murder? And I thought, you know, what a difficult trial that must have been.
Wow,
how
really?
Does Stephen deal with that? And we spent about a month going through things, and ultimately, to cut a long story short, Stephen ended up forgiving that man. He came to me. He said, Pastor, I've forgiven him. And 2 weeks later, I had Stephen's wife and his 19 and 20-year-old son come to me and just say these simple words. They said, Pastor, we want what our father's got. And at first I thought, what does that mean? And then I realized they just wanted Jesus. And they said, we've seen the difference. When Dad forgave that man who murdered our father, or murdered their grandfather, they said, we want that. And so now his family's been coming to our church for probably for years now. And, you know, when you see people go through trials like that, it puts into perspective the small things that I go through as a missionary.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My guest today is Jeremy Pittman. Jeremy's a missionary in Uganda. And talking about, if you're just joining us, trusting God through trials. Now, Jeremy, what do you say? And I mean, you know, sometimes I think, you know, people say, well, you should never question God. And I guess I want to approach it this way and get your thoughts on this. I think it's okay to, you know, ask God why, you know, that, you know, what are you trying to teach me through this, than rather sure. question God of, you know, why is this happening? So, but talk about that when maybe that thought hits our mind of asking God why. What's supposed to be our proper way we're supposed to approach that with God?
Well, the way that I look at Scripture, and the way the Lord's really just worked in my heart recently and over the last few years as I've been on the field, is to look at things and say, why not me? You know, who am I not to deserve some trials? You look at great Christians in the Bible who went through, you know, very difficult struggles. Job, you look at many people who endured. Daniel, an orphan. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart, you know, and I look at all the blessings I had. I had parents growing up. I had people who loved me. I deal with 50-something orphans that don't have a mother. They don't have a father. But, you know, if you look in Isaiah, he says that Jesus is that wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He is their everlasting father. You know, the Bible says we're going to endure some things for him. And I guess Yeah, I do ask why, but I think in all the same time, I look and I say, why not me? There's many people that have endured a lot worse than what things were going through, and say, Lord, would you just help me to be the right example? Would you help me to exemplify Christ? One thing my mom has done a great job with in my mind is she hasn't given up. She just looks at all the bright side of things and says, Lord, what do you want to teach me? And anytime you see that exemplified as a young person, I think it you still have to make a choice to do that in your own life. But I think, in watching my wife deal with her health situations, it's one of those things where you just look at God and you trust him. And he's in control. And I just had a gentleman a few 2 months ago, 44 years of age, Ugandan gentleman. He had a stroke. And we have an American doctor there that works with us in our team. He said it's the worst stroke I've ever seen. And, 44 is a young age. And this man looked like he was the picture of health. Trials come, and I've been able to sit with that man and help minister to him in his mud hut and read him Bible stories. And his only goal, he can't hardly speak, but he whispered in my ear 2 weeks ago. He said, Pastor, I would love to be able to plant a church. And, sometimes we just trust God, and we let him deal with everything else. And I'm just grateful that God gives us the opportunity to serve him. He gives us trials to grow us, to prune us, to teach us in the way that we should walk.
And, a great verse. And, I think that a lot of people, some of us term it as a life verse, but, my mom, I know, had this at Proverbs 3:5-6, and it talks about trusting the Lord and leaning not to your own understanding. And I think it's unique that the Lord uses that word understanding, because most of us, we look at each other and we go, we don't understand. And
sure.
Then the Lord says, lean not unto your own understanding. But then, I heard Brother Hiles preach on this, Jack Hiles preach on this one time, and he said, there's 12 words that follow there. Six of them are ours, and six of them are the Lord's. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And that's our part.
And he shall direct our path.
Yeah.
That verse, because, Mandy, that's your life verse.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes, that's mainly my first.
And then if you take the next six words, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if we look at, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We take that as a pretty good confidence. So why not use the same word shall here, which he did, and said, and he shall direct thy paths. So I guess the key to all of it, and it's easy for us to say, when we're not going through the trial, it's easy when we're on the mountaintop, but when you're going through things like, you guys are going through now with Mandy's health, of course, your mom, my sister Susan, lost a leg due to diabetes several years ago, and you see them going through those issues. But it's still, lean not into your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So that's a pretty awesome thought. Absolutely.
It is.
So how can people pray for you, Jeremy? What are some things? You simply trust the Lord for all your needs over there. But, I feel like we've got great listeners here and would be happy to put you on a prayer list for the Pittman family. So what are some things that you would like for people to pray for you for?
Well, I guess what I'd love for you to pray that God would give complete healing to my wife, if that's his will. And, she's got this, she's been very debilitated and been confined to, even if we got out right now, she's not able to get out much, but she's confined to using wheelchair type things if we did get out of the house. And really would like her to get her full strength back and the severe joint pain to go away and the daily higher fevers to go away. The doctors say that's all possible. It's also possible it could turn into something chronic, and we're just trusting the Lord, as you mentioned earlier. But if you could just pray that if it's God's will, he could just completely take care of those things, and we could be patient in his timing, and as her body heals, that she'd have a complete recovery. I'd ask you to pray that we'd be able to plant more churches. We have three men right now who are really wanting to plant churches in this next year, year and a half, and we'd love to get three more churches started and planted. And you could pray for our orphans. We have almost 67 in our school right now.
Wow.
And if you could pray for them, they don't have a mom and a dad this Christmas, but they have a Heavenly Father. And if you could pray that, their hearts that they want to turn others to Jesus Christ, and that they would be, we would be the lights to them, but they would be lights, and they would be lights for others. We all like Christmas lights, I think, and yet I think we're the greatest light that represent Jesus Christ today, this Christmas season, that we would just magnify him.
Now, we just got a couple of minutes left here, but, you know, we're talking about your children, Malachi, Michaela, and Micah. Talk a minute just what you think, you know, this has meant to them with being missionaries over there and what you've seen in their lives.
Well, it's interesting because I think they appreciate things like we went to McDonald's a while back, and I said, well, what do you want? And they said, beans and rice. And I said, okay, McDonald's does not exactly serve. They serve billions of people, but they don't serve beans and rice. Well, you know, it's just the perspective of them coming back to America and getting acclimated, but also seeing their thankfulness and their gratitude for simple things like electricity. You know, we get back and they're so thankful for air conditioning. They're thankful for cooler weather. They're thankful for little things that sometimes here in America we take them for granted. But, you know, pray for them that, you know, as they see their mom going through some of these struggles, that they would grow and that they would be the people that God would have them to be. But they enjoy the mission field. They just 3 nights ago, we're doing our devotions, and they said, Dad, when are we going to go back to Uganda? And so they love Uganda. They have friends there, but they also realize that people are getting saved there, and they want to be part of it. So if you could just pray towards that end, that we could soon be back as a family, and that would be a great blessing.
So what is the average temperature in Uganda if you just take throughout the year?
And throughout the year, it's probably in the 80s. You know, we have a wet season and a dry season, but in our part of northern Uganda, it would rarely get below 72 or 73, maybe in the cold season, but I've seen people wear parka jackets with fur around their faces when it's 72, 73.
Wow.
And which is always an interesting picture, but put that on a Christmas card.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, hey, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today on Hunting the Way, and we'll certainly, you know, encourage our listeners to pray for you and Mandy and your family. And, man, just thank you, and I'm really, really proud of you. And we will catch up with you hopefully on another visit and get you back on the show.
Well, thank you so very much.
All right. That's Jeremy Pittman, missionary to Uganda. I want to thank you for joining us today for Hunting the Way. Again, my name is Scott Whatley. Check out our website, huntingtheway.com. You can catch all of our past shows. And remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.